Proverbs chapter 18 this morning. And last week we preached a message on the tongue and looked at the fact that it needs a bridle. It needs to be controlled. Today we're going to look at the tongue and words, and dealing specifically today with sharp words. And they are a dangerous thing. They're dangerous in families. They're dangerous all the way along. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's pray and we'll look at the Word of God today. Father, it is clear in your Word that one of the struggles that we deal with in our life is the control of our tongue and being able to put a bridle on it. But Father, one of those specific areas that we deal with are words that are cutting, words that are sharp, words that cause damage to the innermost soul of other people. Father, as we look at your Word, I pray that you would help us to control this area of our tongue. God, that we would learn to put away sharp words from our speech. God, that we would not say cutting phrases. And Father, that you would help us to speak with our tongue in the law of kindness. I ask God that you would also take today, as we look at the power of words, as we finish and look at the power of your Word. And God, I pray that if someone here today is not saved yet, Lord, that you would convict their hearts, Lord, that they would come to the realization that it is no good to be a sinner on your way to hell when there's the opportunity to turn to a Savior who paid for every one of those sins. And God, I pray for that. And I ask God that you would speak to Christian and non-Christian alike today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this, we see death and life are in the power of a tongue. Obviously, we can understand that. You know, a king that had the ability to make a decree, he could say, this person is to be put to death, or this person will live. And a king would have that ability, and so you would have that opportunity to say, look, death and life are in the power of a tongue. You think of the opportunity to use our tongue, and you have the ability to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and witness to them, and they have that opportunity through the speech that you were to give them to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, gaining therefore eternal life. It doesn't get any better than that. And we all who know the gospel, we have that ability to be able to share eternal life with other people, to share and present to them Jesus Christ, and therefore life is in the power of the tongue. We also have the ability to know that a person does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we just don't say anything to them. Thus, their blood becomes on our hands. The Apostle Paul made the statement, he says, I am free from the blood of all men. It means he witnessed to everybody that he could at every chance that he could. He didn't let a person that was unsaved go by and just say, I'm not going to talk to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing, the power of a tongue. Then we look beyond that and you think of how many people in this world possibly ended their own life because of something that someone said to them. We see throughout the news this thing. It's not a new thing. It's just been brought more attention to, this thought of bullying. And, you know, with all of what goes on, you know, it's one thing to say something face to face, but there is an underlying thread that goes on in society dealing with social media where people, they take no thought of what they put out there, of the sharp and cutting words that they put out there toward other people, because when they put them out there, they're not having to actually look that person in the face. They're hiding behind a screen. They're hiding behind a phone or a computer, and they're saying sharp words to or about people. And it can actually come to the point where it causes someone, there's individual responsibility, but it causes someone to end their life. The power of the ability to say, a person who is at that point where they're about to commit suicide, and you're able to take and say the right word at the right time, and shift them from that line of thinking, letting them know, hey, there's something to live for. So in multiple areas, you can look and say the power of death and the power of life are held in words. They're held in words. So let's look at a few verses here. Psalm chapter 52. Psalm chapter 52. And I want to deal today with these sharp cutting words at least a little bit. Psalm 52 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully." What is your tongue like? You ever had your tongue compared to a razor? That's pretty sharp. That's pretty sharp. Do you use your tongue to cut? Psalm 57 and verse 4. These verses are connected to one another. It says, "My soul is among lions. I lied even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men." And then it says this, "whose teeth are as spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." You think about being around people, and every phrase that they say is a cut. It's a cut at one person or a cut at another person. One of the sharpest things that people use is sarcasm. Sarcasm is defined as harsh or bitter, derision or irony. A sharply ironical taunt, sneering or cutting remarks. And they talk about a review being full of sarcasms where somebody uses something, maybe it's a bit of truth, maybe it's a bit of humor, but in the line of that, it is a cutting remark. Sarcastic people, you've all met them. The ability to just say that sharp thing at that moment, and it hurts. I've met people that are extremely sharp-tongued, extremely quick-tongued, and they walk around, they're proud of their ability. They describe events where, oh, I told this person. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to be a little bit slow with the tongue. If you're too fast with it, probably it's going to lash out there and say some things that ought not to be said. But I've met some quick-tongued people, and you're around them much, and you're like, boy, and their life consists of, they go around talking about how they told this person off and how they put this person in their place. They talk about how they use this phrase to cut this person down, and they think because they said it with a smile that it's okay to say it. It's sharp. Psalm 64. Psalm chapter 64 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Who whet," that's W-H-E-T, that is to sharpen, like you would sharpen a knife. It's called whetting. "Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words." So they take their tongue and they practice it. You know, if you're going to sharpen a sword, if you're going to sharpen a knife, it takes effort, it takes work. So these people, they're taking their tongue and they're actually practicing. You say, how are they doing that? Just by continual use of it. The continual practice of taking someone and cutting them down and always wanting to be able to say that sharp word. Well, eventually, it comes to the point in their life where it just rolls out. It's just sharp. It continues to roll out. It says they bend their bows to shoot their arrows. So their words go out. They go out with the full force of a bent bow. That arrow lodges into the person with whom their tongue is aimed at, and it cuts deep into them. And it says that they have used bitter words. We need to be careful about being bitter against people. You know, the Bible speaks about a husband who, he says to husbands, be not bitter against your wives. If you gain a bitterness, and, you know, it could be for a variety of reasons, but it says if you gain a bitterness for some reason or another against your wife, you better watch out because the arrow gets pulled back. The tongue lashes out. It shoots out. and it drives into the heart of that person who is most precious to you. But it seems that the ones that are the nearest to us, the ones we love the most, are the people that we often say some of the very meanest things to. And they go out and they cut. It takes practice. These people, they actually wet their tongue. They practice at it. Psalm chapter 59. Psalm chapter 59. And verse 7. The Bible uses some interesting words when it talks about the tongue. It says, "Behold, they belch out with their mouths. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear?" You know, an uncontrollable burp. It's there. You know, you try to control it. You put your hand over your mouth to control it. The Bible uses that description in talking about the words and the mouths of wicked people. Verse 5, we go back. It says, "Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors." Stop and think about this. Selah. Then it says, "They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. And they go round about the city." So they've gone out, they've done their daytime thing, and then they go about and they're talking about people and they're using sharp words. They act and sound like a dog. They run around the city. But then it says in verse 7, as it leads into this, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips." These people, they just let the tongue say whatever it wants to say. No control. You know, it's a disgusting thing for a person to walk into a room and let out a belch. Have some self-control. You know, control yourself. You know, whether you're at home, whether you're anywhere. But there's people. I know I lived in a college dorm, and there were two individuals that every time they'd come in a room, I don't know how they did it, I don't know if they practiced it or whatever, they'd come into a room, people studying, people doing whatever in the dorm, and they come in, they let out a belch. And it's honestly, it's frankly disgusting. It's not necessary. It's controllable. Put your hand over your mouth, at least muffle it. But what happens is, these people are described with their mouth. You've heard people say, "I just speak my mind." Well, why don't you control that belch? And that's what it is. Why don't you control what you say? Why don't you think before you speak? Why don't you get the mind in control so that you don't just let out words that shouldn't be let out, right? Because it says they're sharp words. Swords are in their lips. "Well, I really told that person." Well, the Bible describes that you belched your mind. And you need to think about that. Because, look, I wouldn't even use the word belch. It's right there in the Bible. And God is, He makes a point. And sometimes those words are used. They're used to make a point, so that, to get people to think. What you say, the words you use, how does God look at them? How do other people look at those words? Psalm 140. These verses describe the use of the tongue. Psalm 140 in verse 3. It says, "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." Selah. You think about poison words. Constant negative criticism. It really is poison. It beats people down. It causes damage to the very heart and the mind of a person. You have been around people where every word is a critical word. And eventually it poisons people. Here's the other thing. People that constantly talk about other people. They constantly have something negative to say about another individual. What ends up happening when you have something negative to say about an individual? As you speak to someone, you're forming the thoughts of that person toward another individual. Oh, we've got to be careful, don't we? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I don't want to influence the thinking of one person toward another person and speak poison about another individual. Say, hey, Jackie, did you know that Cassie
turns a little red when this stuff happens, but that's okay.
Did you know that Cassie did this, this, and this? What have I done? See, Jackie, at that moment, she thought, oh, Cassie, she's this fine young lady, and she had good thoughts toward her. And you ought to have good thoughts toward Cassie. Cassie's faithful, Cassie's here, and Kathy's striving, and Cassie's trying. And we need to encourage Cassie, don't we? And I'm glad for all of our young people that come. But you know what? It would be very simple for me to poison the mind of Jackie toward Cassie. You go, you say a few words about something, true or not true. And then Jackie, the next time she sees Cassie, what is she thinking? She's thinking about that thing that was said. She's thinking about those negative words. And what has happened is there is poison in the tongue of a person. It goes into the mind of another individual. And then that person cannot make their own assessment because their mind has already been polluted toward another individual. Oh, how we've got to be careful. When you know something about a person, be careful what you say. Be careful who you tell. Be careful that you're not influencing the mind of other people. Because guess what? Maybe somebody did do something, and maybe they made a horrendous error, a horrendous mistake, and maybe from the moment that they did that, they fell down on their face before God, maybe not physically at that very moment, but they were like, God, why did I do that? How many of you have ever done something stupid? I have. How many of you have ever sinned and you think, how in the world did I do that sin? Oh, I wish I could take that 5 minutes back. If I could just go back 5 minutes, I would never have done that. God, help me. God, forgive me. Please, God, don't ever let me repeat that sin again. That person's already cleared before God, right? They have asked forgiveness. They have been, if they're a saved person, they're justified under the blood of Jesus Christ. Then somebody happened to know about it. And they told this person, this person, this person, and the poison has spread. And then this individual who they know what they did was wrong, they have asked forgiveness from God. But then somebody comes along and says something to them. And, I'm never going to live this down. And they throw up their hands and give up. We don't want to cause that, do we? Oh, how we need to be careful that our tongue is not sharp, that our tongue is not poison, that our tongue is not corrupting the thoughts of other people toward another individual. It's a dangerous thing. You know what? Some people that they never swear. They never use the Lord's name in vain. But how about this area? How about those sharp words? How about those cutting words? Oh, we've got to be careful. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention. His mouth calleth for strokes. So what we've got is a guy who lives as if there is no God. Okay, the fool hath said in his heart there is no God. So a fool is going to be a person who lives their life as if there is no God. And this person, you ever meet a person who's just looking for a fight? I mean, one little thing happens and the fists are up.
Well, in the old days when they would wear a sword, what would it be? It wasn't the fists were up, the sword was out. You know, maybe in the old West, boy, I'll tell you what, you said that, let's go for a duel out here on the street. I challenge you. They're ready to pull that gun at any moment. Well, some people are like that with their tongue. You know, they're just ready at any moment to pull out their sword, their tongue, their words. They're ready to make a cutting comment, a cutting word. They're ready for contention. They're ready for a call to strokes. They're ready for a battle of words at the drop of a hat. What kind? There's no control in that. There's no control when the tongue is prepared to be a sword. When the tongue ought to have in it the law of kindness. And we'll look at that down the road. There's so much in the Bible about a word fitly spoken and different kind words. But the sharpness with which some people speak, they've sharpened their tongue. They've practiced. They then come to the point where I am ready to speak that harsh word at any moment. It's there. My weapon is drawn. Dare to say something, and I will come back with some kind of cutting remark, cutting comment. You want a battle of words? I'm ready for it. That is the attitude that is there. We know people, right? Everybody knows people that have accomplished that with their tongue. We need to think about how we use our tongue. When I was a boy, I was an obnoxious brat, to say the least. People were saying, oh, I knew that already. In school, oh, around, I don't know, 11, 12 years old. Bad time. See, here's the problem. I went to a school, and in that school, you know, there was an environment of protection. And the bigger kids, really, if they did something to a smaller kid, they would get in trouble. So I had the practice and the habit of going to bigger kids and running my mouth. And what should have happened, the teacher should have probably, well, I'm not going to say that should have happened. I don't know what should have happened at that time. But probably would have done me well if somebody had just turned the other way and one of those kids had just laid me out flat and taught me a lesson about my tongue. I had two guys in particular. It was constant. And I could outrun both of them. So that was my advantage. I could outrun both of them. Now, if they were smart, they could have just waited for the proper timing when you're trapped in a corner somewhere. But I would specifically say something cutting. One of them, it was their weight. Another one, it was something else. And you'd say something cutting, and then you run. It was horrible. It was obnoxious. It was awful. You look back at it and I'm thinking, why in the world? But I practiced it. But I eventually grew up and learned, you know what? The tongue has to be stopped. You can't always just say what you want to say. And you got to be careful not to get drawn back into stuff like that. Because there's some people that just naturally pull it out, right? I'm careful when the evangelist comes and has his comments to say about the pastor. You know, you got to be careful. Because it's easy just to, and it was all in good humor and good fun, and I understand that and I know that, but I'm not going to go down that road. If I go down that road, I might say something that I would regret saying. So you just got to kind of hold back, control the tongue. You don't want to use your tongue for sharpness and for evil. Turn to Deuteronomy 22. I want to go to husbands and wives for a minute. And things that can be said. This is a horrible situation. Here's a person who used sharp words against his wife. Obviously, he loved her. Obviously, he
was attracted to her. In verse 13 it says, if any man take a wife and go in unto her. So he's gone through the betrothal. He's gone through the courtship phase. He's gone through all of that. And he takes his wife. They get married. They have their honeymoon. And then all of a sudden, for some reason or another, he has bitter thoughts. It says, and he hates her. And his mind turns. And he has a moment at least of hatred. And verse 14 says this, and give occasion of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and said, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. He was accusing this woman who was perfectly pure on their wedding night. Ah, you weren't even pure on your wedding night. It doesn't get much more cutting than that, does it? She had kept herself. She had honored him by saving herself for him for that night. And I'll tell you what, this shows the importance of purity. It shows how vital that is. And young men, young ladies, you keep yourself for that one. That one that you are going to marry, that one that you are going to come down and you are going to say, I promise you my entire life. I promise to be faithful in sickness and in health. Wealth for richer or for poorer. And that's not for richer and for poorer. Okay, it's one wife. Richer and poorer, you think about it. And you look at this guy. He comes and he takes her and then he gets mad and he says this cutting phrase, you weren't even pure on our wedding night. I can't imagine anything worse. You'd have to hate a person to accuse them like that. But again, it shows, hey, you ought to be pure on your wedding night, right? It's important. It's important. So then he goes around and he causes an evil name upon her and starts talking, my wife wasn't pure on her wedding night. I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Look what God says about this. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. So they're going to prove that she was pure on that night. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife. Wow. January 19th is coming for me. For Brother Tanksley, it was this last year in May. I gave my daughter to this man. That means something, doesn't it? It's pretty important. Wow, you trusted this guy with your prized possession. And he hateth her. Verse 17, and lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found thy daughter not a maid, and yet are these the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. Here's a man that says, look, he's lying. My daughter was pure. He is saying these lying, cutting, sharp words, debasing her. And it says, look, the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. I'll tell you what, that'd be one point in time where I'd look forward to being an elder of the city. We could use some elders of the city in Ottumwa, couldn't we? Maybe shape this place up a little bit. Get the elders of the city to take a guy who's going to say something like that against the woman he took to wife. Take some men out. Be good to do it in public so that the whole town can watch. And flog this guy, right? Teach him something. Kind of like Gideon. He taught him with the briars of the field, go out and pick some thorns and just take him to task. You know, there were some good things about the old days. The elders of the city brings this guy out they chastise him. And then it says in verse 19, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel. Okay, so this guy, he gets chastised. That means he got beat pretty bad. Then they take and they charge him 100 shekels of silver and they give him to the father of the girl that he debased, that he cut with his tongue, because he hath brought an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. No divorce. They taught the guy to shape up. They taught the guy to get his tongue in control. They taught the guy to be what he ought to be toward the bride that he had loved prior to their marriage, and something happened to where twisted his mind against her. And they do this, but you think about it. Oh, this is the extreme case, the extreme accusation that takes place here. But, you know, you go sharp words against your wife. Come home, what'd you do all day? That can be a sharp word, can't it? You didn't accomplish anything today. We've got to be careful what we say. How about this one? How long is it going to take you to lose that baby fat anyway? That's sharp. That's sharp. Yeah, I've heard of people saying it. I haven't heard that here. Don't. But you think about the things that people will say sometimes. And the cutting words. And I don't have this great imagination to think up 1,000 different examples. I don't have 25 stories to put behind each one of these. You get the idea. The Word of God gives the idea. We need to take our tongue and control it. Power of death and life are in the tongue. Now I want to change directions here. Everything I've said so far has been primarily to Christian people. People that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I want to shift over to Hebrews chapter 4 at this time. Hebrews chapter 4. There are Christian people that need to get their tongue in control. Words have power of death and life. Words can be sharp. But look at chapter 4 and verse 12 of Hebrews. It says, the Word of God is quick. That means it makes alive. It is alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Then you look at what the Word of God does. It says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the Word of God does? The Word of God has convicting power. It has convicting power to take the Christian person and show them their error. It goes all the way down between the soul and the spirit. It cuts, if you will, between the joint and the marrow. Anyone that has ever butchered anything, I think Cole butchered a deer last night, right? Got a deer yesterday, butchered it. When you cut through the leg of a deer, where do you want to cut? Between the joint and the marrow, right? Right there at the joint. Pretty hard to cut through the middle of the thigh. You get right at the knee and you cut through that thing. But the Word of God is sharp. It goes exactly where it needs to go. It takes and gets right to the heart of the matter. And the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and convicts a Christian person of their sin and of their wrong and puts them back on the right track. The idea is that the Word of God shows us where we're wrong and it helps us to get back to be right. That's the goal of the Word of God. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. You know what? You're all sitting here today,
And God may use the same word to go to the heart of one person and the heart of another person on two different issues in their life because it's the Word of God. It's alive. God knows how to use His Word in your heart. If you're here today and the Word of God is used, God has something to say to you. Now, how about the unsaved person? The person who is still in their sins, still standing on the edge of hell. One breath, one heartbeat, one heart attack, one stroke. You're standing on the edge. You never know when it's going. One false step and you're off. If you're here today and you're not saved, are you ready to spend eternity in hell? That's where you're standing. Why are you standing there? Because of sin. I was standing there one day. When I realized I was standing there on that edge and that if I died, I'd go to hell, I was looking for an answer. Weren't you? When you realized you were a sinner standing on the brink of hell, didn't you look for an answer? Well, there is only one answer. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is an absolute necessity that the person headed straight toward hell in their sins, they repent of their sin, they turn around and say, Jesus, I need you to save me. Would you please save me? And Jesus Christ says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ says, look, I loved you. God loved you so much that He sent me to die for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Word of God, it goes into the heart of a person and says, look, ma'am, sir, your sin against the holy God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the Word of God, being sharper than a two-edged sword, is able to get and cut right down to where it needs to cut in order to set the Christian straight, in order to take the unsaved person and say, repent. Repent! Turn to Jesus Christ while you still have a chance. Where are you today? Are you saved? Are you willing to risk your eternity? Do you know that you're going to be alive tomorrow? See, you're trying to scare me. The Bible says, and some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know what caused me to turn to Jesus Christ? I was afraid of hell. Know what causes a child not to lay their hand on a stove? Well, if they've ever experienced it, they're afraid of it. Right? They're afraid of it. Know what causes a person not to touch an electric cord? It's got a couple bare wires hanging out of it. I've been shocked enough times in my life. I don't like it. It's not a pleasant thing. I'm afraid of it. How about your salvation? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? Are you depending on Jesus Christ and Him alone? What is your answer? Christian, the Word of God speaks about the sharp tongue. How will we respond to that? What will we do? Say, boy, I've sharpened my tongue so long, it's a habit for me. It's time to dull it. It's time to put a bridle on it. Take a dog with sharp teeth, you put a muzzle on it, right? Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed.